From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Human rights groups are calling it a silent crisis. Millions of Iraqis have fled their country to get away from the violence there. Their plight does not get much attention. There are no big fund drives. Iraqi exiles don't live in refugee camps. Most aren't starving. But their numbers are astonishing. 2 million Iraqis have fled to Jordan and Syria. 30,000 more flee every month. NPR's Deborah Amos sent this report from Syria, where 1.5 million Iraqis now live.
In this neighborhood south of Damascus, almost everyone is Iraqi. They ran for the safety of the only border still open to them, Syria. But this sound is a reminder of the uncertainty of their lives, a sound that produces deep anxiety about how much longer they can hold out and what happens when they can't. Hadood means border. This is an advertisement for an organized bus service. The Syrian government now requires Iraqis to leave the country every 3 months, a regulation that seems designed to address growing Syrian resentments to demonstrate that the Syrian government controls the border and those who cross it. For Iraqis, it is a hot, dusty, and expensive 12-hour round trip to the Syrian-Iraqi border to get their passports stamped again. Laithi Madadin, who arrived a few weeks ago, says Syria is safer than Iraq, but it's a tough place to live.
Finding a house, we are all here jobless, and it's hard to deal with the Syrian people nowadays.
A few doors down from the bus office, another agency offers aid to Iraqis struggling far from home. But it is aid that's also an organizing tool for Muqtada al-Sadr, the radical Shiite cleric who plays a powerful role in Baghdad politics. Sadr has recently opened an office here in the heart of the Iraqi exile community. Prayer rugs cover the floor. A creaking fan barely moves the thick air. Sheikh Radi al-Khadmi, a cleric in a turban and black robes, is Sadr's representative in Syria. He says his orders come from Sadr, not from the Iraqi government.
We have no relation at all with governmental work, and we have nothing to do with this.
Khadmi says the Sadr organization pays medical bills for poor Iraqis, performs Sharia marriages, religious ones, helps those who want to register as refugees.
We look after the large number of Iraqis, trying to solve their problems, sometimes help them. We are trying to offer them the best we could to help them relieving their situation.
But many Iraqis say Sadr has another agenda in this large exile community, exporting the sectarian divide that is now tearing Iraq apart. Sunnis are discouraged from living in this predominantly Shiite neighborhood in Damascus, say Iraqis. Shiite businessmen are warned to sever ties with Sunnis. But Khadmi dismisses the accusations.
Many of our brother Sunnis come to here and we help them. This ethnic split troubles in Iraq have been created by the occupation.
Sadr isn't the only one organizing in Damascus. If Sadr is hard politics, this is a softer version. At midnight, a television technician sets the lights for an all-night production in a Damascus ballroom. Iraqi actors in costume mill around before the action starts. These are Iraq's most famous faces, actors in exile, who are taping a television series for a channel banned in Baghdad by the Iraqi government, but that still beams into the country by satellite. Actress Mace Gomar, in a very short, very tight military uniform, plays a government minister in the production.
It's called The News of the Country.
And it's a comedy?
Comedy, yes.
The news of home, a black comedy, yeah.
That last voice is director Ahmad Shukri El-Akidi. He explains the television series is a savage satire designed to further increase Iraqi resentment of the government. The plot, he says, involves ministers who know nothing about politics and everything about corruption. It will be broadcast during Ramadan, the month of religious fasting that is prime time television viewing, 30 episodes of ridicule, he says.
Ridicule and ridicule and ridicule. Because of this government, I lost my brother.
Alakidi's eyes well up. His voice catches, recalling the details.
He was an Iraqi officer who was killed in front of his wife and his kid. So how do we not ridicule them?
1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Alakidi turns to listen to the music while Iraqi dancers practice their routine. Even in this troupe of comic actors, there's enough tragedy for a lifetime. Every Iraqi exile has a similar story. Many here say they've concluded they're not going home anytime soon. So another kind of organizing has begun, smuggling, human smuggling. The preferred destination is Sweden. It's impossible to confirm the numbers, but many Iraqis here say as their desperation grows, so does the smuggling business. It is a gamble, says Laithi Madadeen, but one that seems worth taking, a way to move on from Syria as the war in Iraq drags on.
First, it's quicker. Second, we hadn't seen anybody who had signed up for this refugee thing and had been taken.
You're ready. You're ready to try.
Ready? So many smugglers.
Imadeddin is willing to risk his life savings for a chance to start a new life anywhere else. Deborah Amos, NPR News.